never seen anybody trot out on the field on Sundays when it's time to play a game and have shorts and a t-shirt on. It just didn't make any sense for me that I'm a guy, I don't have anything to hide. I felt like I could come out here and make any throw that these guys asked me to, and why not do it in shoulder pads?
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Johnny Manziel talking after his pro day today in College Station, Texas, explaining why the shoulder pads, why the helmet. Others can say, well, it made him look bigger, and that's fine too. But to that I say, good move on your part, Johnny, because that was smart to do that. I'll give him points for that, not deduct them. I don't see that as a negative. And I think to the point of throwing a ball with pads on, that's what you're doing in the NFL. Hey, don't just watch the draft, the one that will include Johnny Manziel, of course. Play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win some incredible prizes. We're talking about some experiential stuff that we're putting together. Play the Draft is a new free fantasy NFL draft game. Very exciting stuff. First contest is live now. Please sign up at clevelandbrowns.com today. Just go to the website and you'll get all the information there. Very cool opportunity to pick your players and see your stock rise and fall accordingly. See those green upward arrows in the numbers and the red downward arrows in the numbers, and seeing how you can position yourself. And, hey, is there a buy now on Johnny Manziel? I'm going to say there's a big-time buy on him after a pro day like that. It's going to cause some spiking of his stock. Andy and Lakewood's got some thoughts about Johnny Manziel right now. Andy, what do you got?
I just hope that his value doesn't spike up to number four. I mean, everybody recognizes the Browns need a quarterback going forward. Brian Hoyer, you know, looked good in two games. But to reach for Manziel at four or any of the three or other two quarterbacks would be a huge mistake. I mean, Vic, you said selfishly that you'd like to bring him in just for the excitement. Think about how exciting it was when we were 3-2 last year. Bringing in one of the following guys, Watkins, Robertson, Khalil Mack, or even Matthews, is going to make the team better immediately next year, resulting in wins. I mean, could you imagine the offense with Watkins, Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron, and Hawkins? That's incredible.
Andy, it would be incredible if someone is able to deliver the ball to them in ways that they can show their skills. So I'm with you. I'm not saying or promoting the idea that they should get Manziel. I told you the selfish reasons I like it, but he wouldn't be my pick. If it happened, I see the benefits, the upside from a very much a media superficial standpoint. From a football standpoint, I'm with you. Excitement stops when the wins don't come, and we don't have any wins here. This team does need a quarterback, however, Andy. You can't get away from that, and I don't think there's any escaping that in this draft. And I think the notion that Sammy Watkins or a receiver is going to solve all the ills of the Browns, and if they, because they do that and ignore quarterback or make quarterback a much lower priority, is a fallacy, because that player will only be as good as a guy throwing him the ball. I know Josh Gordon did spectacular things with three different guys, and two of those guys are gone, et cetera, et cetera. And Brian Hoyer's still here. But that does not, to me, end the conversation about the need for a quarterback. You can't say, hey, they can get by. Just get them better guys to catch the ball. It doesn't work for me. All right, a guy who does work for me to have on this show, because he's spectacular to get his opinions and knowledge, and he's tremendous. He covers the Browns for the Associated Press. He is the one and only Tom Withers. Hello, Tom.
Hey, I'm going by Tommy.
Tommy, that's my guy, Tommy boy. Tom, did you have a chance to watch the Manziel spectacle today?
Of course I did. I mean, it was much of his must-watch television, wasn't it?
Sure.
Pretty fascinating spectacle. I mean, you got, you know, former President Bush and his wife, Aunt Barbara, on the sideline, and Johnny out there in a helmet and shoulder pads, which I don't think we've ever seen before on a pro day. So, yeah, it seemed to kind of live up to the hype.
Hey, Tommy, it's Reggae. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Hi, Michael. You too.
Listen, we know there's a need there. There's no question about that. But, you know, I contend, and that if you're going to draft one of these three guys, though, top five, that you're kind of getting away from your board. I don't believe any of them are attached top five value right now today. Would that be a mistake for the Browns to do? Or does the need supersede even though you go away from your board, go ahead and take one of them at four?
Boy, I tell you, Michael, it is a fascinating, intriguing, you know, a little bit of everything. This story's got a lot of tentacles on it. And, you know, when you look at the Browns and you look at their situation, and there is obviously a need there, but there is clearly a quarterback in place that you think you can win with. You know, do you risk now, you know, changing whatever you have going right now with Brian Hoyer going forward? Do you risk bringing in a rookie quarterback who, if you take at the number four spot, is going to have to start right away?
Mm-hmm.
Is this organization ready for a guy like, let's say they take Johnny Football right now at number four. Is this organization ready to handle, not only from a football standpoint, just the whole Johnny Football world unto itself? You know, I think, Michael, you and I were around those Cavaliers for a long time.
Yeah.
And when LeBron James is in town, and I don't want to equate the two, but I think there is a little bit of a parallel here. That organization wasn't ready for LeBron James. And I think in hindsight, and it's even been acknowledged by the organization, they mishandled the way they dealt with LeBron James. So, you know, if you're going to take a guy like Johnny Manziel, and listen, I am really intrigued by him from an athletic standpoint. I think he's the complete package. I like everything about him. Sure, is there a size situation? You know, is there a risk with him getting hurt? Yeah, but you could say that about every quarterback that lines up every Monday, Thursday, or Sunday in the NFL. I mean, there's always that risk involved. The kid is clearly a winner. He's got a wow it factor that I think this town would just go berserk. But I'm just not sure if this team at this time is ready to take on a guy like Johnny Manziel.
Interesting perspective. Tom Withers from the Associated Press joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Tom, as you look at the broader sense of the quarterback position and mm-hmm. who's out there, now you've had a chance to see the pro days of the so-called Big Three and then throw that fourth name in there, Derek Carr, in addition to Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles. Do you come away feeling what? Any sense of one guy more than another if he's not the fourth overall pick? Where do you see him done? And how big in your mind is the quarterback position as a priority for this team in this draft?
Well, I think that's the rub right there, Vic. I think it comes down to how much faith do you have in Brian Hoyer? And whether you have faith in him or not, I still think they're going to obviously have to take a quarterback. And then the question becomes, do you take him as high as four? Do you take him at 26? Do you try to move up to the middle of the draft to get a guy that you've fallen in love with? You know, in talking to some people with the Browns last week, I know they're looking at as many as 10 quarterbacks right now, which tells you that they're looking at guys not only in the first round, but much deeper in the draft. And as we know, you know, beyond the top three here, there's some very good quarterbacks out there. You can look at guys like, you know, Aaron Murray and A.J. McCarron and Mettenberger and Taj Boyd, and people even throw Kenny Guyton from Ohio State out there. I mean, there's plenty of guys who I think we're pretty confident are going to be able to play in this league. So I think when you're the Browns, you have to evaluate it first and foremost from, okay, we've got a kid in Brian Hoyer who we really liked and we saw some real nice potential in last year, who also, by the way, is coming off of an ACL injury. Is he ready? Is he ready to take this team over? Do we have enough talent for him on offense that we can win and that we can win now? And I think, you know, that's what you're going to have to wrestle with. I'm glad I'm not Ray Farmer, because I tell you what, this is a real interesting year, and particularly when you factor into the dynamic of where this team is at right now on its third head coach in 3 years. Are you ready to subject your new head coach to a rookie quarterback? And if it is Johnny Football, with 15 to 20 questions a day about Johnny Manziel and whether or not he belongs on the field. So I think there's just, as I said earlier, I think there's just a lot of tentacles with this quarterback situation. And as has been fitting with the Cleveland Browns for the last 15 or 30 years, it's always the quarterback situation.
Yeah, all part of the dynamic as we chat with the Associated Press's Tom Withers here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Tommy, to me, Kyle Shanahan plays a great deal with a large impact in this whole thing, because if you take a guy like Manziel, can we agree, you're going to really have to stylize and maybe even script your offense until you find out some things about him to do what we know he can do, and that's improvise, stretch plays, keep him alive. So how much input do you think that a Kyle Shanahan should have, whether it's Manziel, Bortles, Bridgewater, Carr, doesn't matter, that Shanahan should have in stylizing his offense?
Oh, I think he should lead the meeting, don't you, Michael? It's got to come. Yeah, I mean, if he's been brought in here to run an offense that he thinks is going to win in this league and is going to, as you said, suit a particular style for a quarterback, I mean, I think let's take for now, you know, that Brian Hoyer is going to be the starter next year. Well, they're going to have to tailor the offense to suit Brian Hoyer's skills, which we saw last year was, you know, quick decision-making, getting the ball out to his playmakers quickly, right. You know, reading the field, being decisive, you know, hopefully having some semblance of a running game next year. So I think Kyle Shanahan has got to have a lot to do with whatever their decisions are going forward here. But then let's be honest too, though, Mike, you know, the offensive coordinator is not the one with the biggest voice in the room. That's either going to be your head coach or your general manager, or in some cases your owner. So, there's just so much at play right here. And, you know, I think this decision, to be honest with it, you guys, is going to go down to probably the final week. As I said before, they're looking at a number of quarterbacks. They're looking at a number of scenarios. You know, we haven't even talked about the possibility that they could still bring in, and I do expect them to bring in, a veteran quarterback to compete with Brian Hoyer this camp.
Yeah, they could. Who that is, Rex Grossman's name is there, but it's certainly not – they're not going prominent that route, right? I mean, it's leaving that door open. So the draft to me still is where they're going to find this guy or these guys, whatever it is.
Yeah, and again, I think, Vic, I think you have to look at, okay, you know, we've been down the road of throwing a rookie quarterback out there before. We've seen that here. Now, this is not the same situation that you had with Tim Couch, because you actually have, you know, some skilled players on the offensive line. You have, obviously, some amazing playmakers in Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron. So, you know, again, I just think there's so much that can still happen. I found the whole thing today to be just quite fascinating because, you know, in some ways, you guys, this is the new NFL. This is, you know, what we saw today is, you know, where we're headed, you know, just not only in terms of the media exposure, but, you know, the new style of quarterback that everybody has fallen in love with. Now, is this going to be the flavor of the month? Only time will tell.
Good stuff, Tom. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us, my friend.
Always my pleasure, you guys.
Always a joy, Tommy. Good to talking
to
you.
Guys.
He
talk
is
soon.
Tom Withers, or Tommy, whatever you prefer,
Tommy.
You know, to his friends,
Tommy
from the Associated Press, joining us here.
In the gym, we call him Tommy.
Man. That's right. Yeah. On Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Fours, we're talking about Johnny Manziel. We are going to, of course, hear more from you. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Your opinions, your thoughts, your barks and growls from the pound, very important to us. Want those tweets as well at Browns_Daily. We'll get into more of those with Megan Rock a little later in this show. She is also tweeting throughout the show and going to be putting together the Browns Daily Wrap, the highlights of the show that you'll see later on ClevelandBrowns.com. Vic and Reg here with you on a Football Thursday, ESPN 850 WKNR.